Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pep Talk, your get-up-and-go fix of the day. Sharky Zartman here, and I am honored to have Philip Blackett on the show. Now, he's on a mission to change our intimidating cancel culture that lacks diversity of thought by reintroducing the rules of engagement that most of us have lost. He is the author of Disagree Without Disrespect, How to Respectfully Debate with Those Who Think, Believe, and Vote Differently from You. He's also the author of How to Adopt and Master Artificial Intelligence, AI, to Secure Your Job and Career. Now, he's passionate about helping entrepreneurs and small business owners grow their dream businesses while utilizing his skill set in sales, marketing, and business development. So previously, he served as the president of Cemetery Services Incorporated, a seven-figure business he bought based in the greater Boston area. And so welcome, Philip.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here with you.
Well, happy to be with you. Wow, what timely topics. I can't wait to get talking about this. I think a lot of people struggle with sharing different viewpoints these days, especially with the upcoming election. Whoa. Also, with everything we're hearing about the dangers of AI, it would be nice to hear how we can actually use it to be more successful in our jobs and careers instead of being concerned of all the misuses and dangers. But let's first talk about you and your background. And so, how did you get interested in all these areas?
Yeah, so I think part of the thing for me was when I was growing up, one of the key things I learned when I was in college and early in my career was the importance of seeing where the puck is going before you actually play it. You know, it's kind of a play off of Wayne Gretzky's quote, you know, you don't skate where the puck is, you skate where the puck is going to be.
Okay.
And so being mindful of where things are and being able to adjust and adapt and be flexible is really key, especially if you're trying to build a long-lasting, successful career. And so I think that was definitely a part of it for me. And so for me, when I thought about it, you know, even if I took, you know, the whole disagree without disrespect topic, I think there's a lot of personal experiences I've experienced, right, where it's just more so the sense of, you know, when I was growing up, Sharky, you know, once upon a time, there were three things you just didn't talk about at the dinner table.
Right.
You didn't talk about religion. You didn't talk about politics, and you didn't talk about money. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
We learned that, and we just go off of that. The challenge now, though, is it's kind of hard for you to talk about any topic now if you have a difference of opinion without possibly getting the cold shoulder from loved ones, being cursed out on social media in the comment section,
yeah,
being swiped left on the dating site, or even just flat-out unfriended or unfollowed now. You know, we basically got to a point where we're so intolerant of a different opinion or a perspective or viewpoint that we don't have that type of dialogue or, dare I say, debate that we used to have, because it seemed like we can't figure out a way to hear each other out respectfully and debate each other respectfully, and at the same time understand that we can debate on ideas without sacrificing relationships and friendships.
Right, right. I really agree with that. I was talking to my brother-in-law. I told him what our topic was going to be, and he gave me a quote that I want to share it with you and see what you think. In life, it's important to know when to stop arguing with people and simply let them be wrong.
Yeah.
What do you think about that one?
You know what, Sasha? Honestly, I think it's a great quote.
Yeah.
It's right. I honestly do.
Okay.
Because what underlines that quote is, for a lot of us, most of us have this notion that we have a mission in life to persuade everyone we come in contact with that we're right and they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't stop. We won't rest. We won't move on with our lives until we get the absolute last word in a conversation or debate. Or if we fail to convince somebody to see things our way, and I've seen this from personal experience, we'll think it's an absolute waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what comes off now is you have this kind of winner-takes-all, transactional type of focus that any conversation or debate, whether it's with, you know, your colleague at work or your significant other at home, I have to win this debate or fight. Otherwise, you know, what is there to life? As opposed to saying, hey, you know, it's perfectly fine to have a conversation, share your point of view, actually hear the other person out on why he or she thinks the way that they do. And in the midst of going back and forth sharing, even if you don't agree at the end of it, that's okay.
Right.
And even if you think that that person is wrong for thinking what they think, that's okay too, because at least they heard you out. And at the same time, if they want to keep going about things thinking the wrong thing, that's fine. I'm not raising my blood pressure up, getting all upset and in cahoots of thinking that person has to see it my way or else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, there are so many people like that. We have a neighbor. His name is Jack. His name is Jack, and when we walk down...
Is he listening in today?
No, he's not. Don't worry, he's not. But my brother-in-law is. But when we walk by his place, because we walk by his place under the way to the gym, and he sits out on his deck and just, you know, just with himself and the dog, and whenever you walk by him, he goes, did you hear about such and such? And my husband is so nice to people. He always stops. And I'm sitting there going, don't stop. And he doesn't even wait to hear you say yes or no. He just goes on and on, and I don't think he takes a breath, you know. You know, so he doesn't listen. He's just trying to get his stuff out there. And I keep telling Pat, oh, come on, honey, it's time to go home. And he's just so polite. He listens to him. What do you do with people like that?
Well, I think for one thing, that person's probably so enthusiastic to find someone that actually will listen to him.
I know. He loves my husband.
That you want to take full advantage of that and just basically vomit all over him for what you've been dying to share with anybody that would actually give you a couple minutes, if not an hour, to listen to him ad nauseum.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I think what goes on, too, at the same time is, you know, conversations are best had when it's kind of like a tennis match, right?
Right.
Sharky, if you and I are playing tennis, we can have a great time going back and forth, hitting the ball one over the other and that sort of thing. Yeah, we may compete, but as long as we have a good volley going on back and forth, right?
Right.
But if we play in a way where my goal is to absolutely embarrass you and try to ace you every single time,
uh-huh,
and not give you any opportunity to return the serve to me, you're more than likely not going to want to play with me afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't want to play with you. Yeah, no way. But I do want you to try.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think in that sense, you know, there's certain topics that we get very much passionate about, and that's not a wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think what is more the case nowadays is, can we find people we can actually engage with those conversations with, whether they're of the like mind, of the same ideas ours, or different? Because what I would imagine, too, the conversation's probably going to be a lot more fruitful and interesting if you come across somebody that doesn't see things 100% the same way you do.
Okay. Okay. And so, I know that you wrote this book, Disagree Without Disrespect. And so, what actually inspired you to write all this down and share it?
Yeah, so for me, like, this is definitely personal from the sense of I selfishly at first wrote this book for myself because I had gone through an experience where, you know, with my family over the course of a 4th of July holiday get-together last year, basically had my sister's family up to visit my family and my mother visited us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in the living room, my sister, my mom, and I were all sitting together just catching up on things. And a topic of conversation came up between my sister and I. We were going back and forth on it. I don't remember what the topic was. However, I do remember that we did not see eye to eye on that particular topic.
Uh-huh.
So as we started discussing, some would say debating, tomato, tomato, it is what it is.
Right.
My mom jumps in.
Oh, okay.
And I initially thought, like, okay, she's going to take my side or my sister's side.
Right, right.
And she was like, neither. I don't want this debate to happen at all. And we were like, why? And she's like, well, I look forward to seeing fireworks later tonight. I don't want to see fireworks happening right now in the living room between you two.
Good for your mom.
So, you know, I understand what her intent behind it was, Sharky. She wanted it to be a place where we could look back on that 4th of July to get together with fond memories rather than trying to forget all about it. But the impact of it was I felt like it was a lost opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I felt it was a lost opportunity, Sharky, was that I don't see my sister often.
Okay.
In fact, it's actually her birthday today, so shout out to her if she's listening.
Okay.
But in any case, I don't see her often. She lives much further away from me, like multiple states away from me. So us getting together, it's significant. And I would beg to say, and bet that you might agree with me here, that in the midst of us living in a world of social media and smartphones and texting back and forth, some conversations are better to be had in person.
Right.
Face to face.
Yeah, like, I believe that. Yeah.
You know, mano y mano, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those type of conversations. But because of the fear of what could happen afterwards or in the midst of the conversation that could get into disagreement, which could get either aggressive or, dare I say, violent, we didn't even have that conversation. It got stopped in its tracks, you know, nipped in the bud. And we never had that conversation.
Right, because your mom
so
didn't hear it. Yeah.
And so I think for me what went on in my head was like, you know, it's unfortunate we didn't have that conversation. And on top of that, I would ask myself, I wonder how many other people have a similar experience. Not just around the dinner table during the holidays, but maybe just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's with friends of theirs, colleagues at work, family members, parents, kids, just certain topics or certain conversations are not being had out of concern of what would happen if there's a disagreement. Because we don't have an understanding of how can we have a disagreement respectfully, still hear the person out, and still carry on in a healthy relationship afterwards rather than giving that person the cold shoulder. And so that's what made me think, okay, what could that framework be that people can simply follow? And that framework became a 5-step framework, which later became this book that you were talking about called Disagree Without Disrespect, How to Respectfully Debate with Those Who Think, Believe, and Vote Differently from You.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, how did you come up with, I know in the next segment we're going to be talking about your 5-step framework. How did you come up with this framework that's in your book?
Well, I think a big part of it was I wanted it to be simple, right? You know, a lot
yes.
of people, when they talk about communication, they tend to land on, hey, make it 3 points, then you have a great chance of people actually remembering all 3 points. I couldn't actually get into three. Five was definitely like the median between three and seven. But essentially what came off in my mind was just thinking in terms of what are like five steps that can essentially encompass what is your overall approach to talking to somebody about a topic that there's a good chance there might be a difference of opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
And so just try to make that simple enough where I didn't want this book to be something that's, oh, it's just a nice read, and you put it up on the bookshelf to catch dust later on for the next couple of years. Like, no, like, I want this to be simple enough, straightforward enough that people say, hey, let me actually try to apply this in my next conversation, at my next holiday party, at my next work meeting.
Right.
And so with practice, you know, you get better at it until it becomes more ingrained, more natural, where you can actually hopefully be able to lead by example and teach other people how to go about it a better way than how social media and our culture today teaches us currently how to go about disagreements.
Right. Do you think, because I don't remember it being this hostile, you know, with people disagreeing with each other. Do you think part of it is because of social media?
Oh, of course.
Of course, yeah.
I think a big part of it is this book is basically running against the grain, going upstream in the midst of a culture that is every day, every second, as we're talking now, teaching people how to go about ways to disagree. And it doesn't have to be dealing with politics. It could be on anything.
Yeah.
But when you have comment sections that are basically allowing you to like other people's comments, so now you got this sort of gamification to think about, how can I come up with a comment that is witty enough or sarcastic enough or even hateful enough that people will like it and want to share it? And you have it in the sense where people can see what, you know, grown adults are talking about on late night TV, on the news and other shows and that sort of thing. And my thing is this, you know, I'm a father. You know, I have kids that are 7 years old, and what goes on in my head, as it should with any other parent, is that your kids are going to be looking at you for how they should model themselves and how they should act when they get older. And I think what we're experiencing is the exact model, where young or old, we are experiencing what the adults, quote-unquote, are going about treating one another. And we're saying to ourselves, well, if it's okay for them to do that, then maybe we should do the same thing too. And unfortunately, it's not the right way to do it.
Right, right. Well, you have twins, don't you?
I do.
You have two little girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, this is something that everybody needs to learn, not just adults, but kids need to learn it too, right?
Oh, of course. I think of this, being able to disagree without disrespecting somebody, I see it honestly as a life skill. I put it right up there to being able to understand, you know, financial literacy and how to better manage your finances as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those crucial life skills that clearly schools across the nation are not teaching, which makes it all the more reason for us to be able to figure out how do we teach one another to become better communicators amongst one another, which includes, like, emotional intelligence, but also includes how do we communicate and articulate ourselves in a way that not only gets our opinion or perspective across, but also, more importantly, allows a setting that's safe enough that somebody can be honest with you, they can be vulnerable with you, they can share what they honestly believe and think that they're not going to get their heads chopped off in return.
Right, and let me tell you, a lot of people need to learn how to do this. And so the next segment, when we come back, would you please share your five-step framework? And I recommend that anybody listening writes it down, okay? All right, Phil, you ready to come
Absolutely.
Back? Okay, we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Philip Blackett right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharkey Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athletes. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharkey Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkeyZartman.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
With a little Shark Sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharkey Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
We are back with more Pep Talk. I'm Sharkey Zartman here with Philip Blackett, and he is the author of Disagree Without Disrespect, How to Respectfully Debate with Those Who Think, Believe, and Vote Differently from You. So welcome back, Philip.
Glad to be here.
Okay, well, now you're going to tell us how to do this. You told us why it was important and gave us some examples, but okay, we're ready to write it down. 5 steps. Go.
Absolutely.
All right.
So the first step I would say is separate the idea or belief from the identity of the believer.
Oh, I like that one. Okay.
The reason why we start off with that one is that depending on the topic or the idea at hand, Sharkey, depending on the person you actually talk about this with as well, you may come across somebody that is so intertwined with what that idea is that it essentially becomes who he or she is.
Right.
And the challenge with that is if I'm critiquing an idea in this scenario, that person may think of it as I'm critiquing who he or she is.
Right, right.
As a person.
Right.
If I say that this idea is no good, it stinks, it's whatever you want to fill in the blank with, then they think that I'm saying the exact same thing for who they are.
Right.
And that's a very quick and easy way for them to get defensive, to take it personal, to build their wall up, not open up with you.
Right.
And maybe even get aggressive and start delving into name calling.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try to focus on saying, hey, this is more so a conversation about this idea, this belief, this topic, and it's not personal towards you, then that at least shares with the other person that you're not trying to make this personal.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that. That's a great tip. Okay, what's number two?
Step number two is two things can be true. You can disagree with the idea, Sharkey, and still respect and love the person who believes it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a play off of what I've learned in church growing up, where we were called to hate the sin and love the sinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the same thing applies here, where it's helping somebody understand that I may disagree with you on this particular topic, but that doesn't mean that I respect or love you any less because
right.
of it.
Right.
And that was something that my mom had to teach me, that just because I disagree with you, Phyllis, that doesn't mean that I don't love you.
Right, right.
And so what that does is it combats this lie that is becoming more and more apparent in our culture today, that for you to love me, you have to agree with me.
Okay.
For you to love me, you have to affirm what I believe in, who I say I want to do and be, and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And that puts people in a really tough position, because if they don't agree with you, if they don't think that what you're doing is right, now they're fearful that you're going to think that they don't love you anymore. They think that the relationship's going to get awkward, get rocky. Now all of a sudden, you're at a crossroads of, do I be honest with them? Or do I not be honest just for the sake of keeping that person around?
Okay. All right. I think that's a very, very important point, because, you know, even with my dad, we have different political ideas, and, you know, I listen to him and stuff, but don't agree with him, but I still love him and still tell him that. And a lot of people, you know, don't have that, right?
Right. It's one of the saddest parts, because I think to myself, you know, we shouldn't have relationships and friendships that go through tough times and maybe even die every 2 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like every time there's an election, oh, God, I don't think we're going to make it now. I need to find myself a new friend.
Yeah.
Let me call a divorce attorney. Let me get the papers drawn out just because there's an election coming up and I don't think we're going to make it. Like, that's not real life. And I think
right.
part of the inspiration I also get from this is, you know, for me, you know, I've been married for 8 years now. And I take inspiration from couples that have been married for far longer in time.
Yes.
And I often ask people that are in those situations that have been married for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 plus years, listen, when you were married to your spouse, did you agree with him or her on everything? What do they usually respond? No.
No.
Of course
no,
not.
No way. Yeah.
We didn't agree on what we were going to have for dinner that night. You know, we fought on which movie we were going to watch this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But then the question becomes right afterwards, the follow up. Oh, so you did disagree. You did have a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But what kept you together, though, afterwards? And one of the things I learned there was, and this is part of the framework for me, is that what kept coming up as the answer to me was, Phillip, the relationship I have with my spouse, it trumps whatever fight or disagreement we have.
Right,
it's
right.
It's more important for us to be together, even if we have a disagreement.
Right.
So my question then becomes, okay, if that's the case for couples that literally spend just about every day together, you see the good, bad, and ugly. You can't get away from that person, yet and still, you're still together. You still love one another. You have kids with each other. You have grandkids with each other. You're going to be here for the rest of your life. Like, that's your life partner. And you still have disagreements. Okay, what can we take as lessons learned to apply with people that we aren't going to spend the rest of our lives with?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's another very strong point. And so I don't think we're going to get through all five of these because you're giving, but you know what? That's going to be a great reason for people to buy your book. Okay. We're just giving a little tease. Okay. In terms of really some very important ways that we can disagree without disrespect, because a lot of us have not been taught that. And so, I mean, you really hit on an important topic here, because everybody that I know could use some help in this area. Including me. Yeah.
Me as well. I still work from the team. But that's part of the thing, right? Like, it's an ongoing thing. It is a life skill. It is something that you don't just check the box and all of a sudden you're 100% proficient at it. You're perfect at it.
Right.
You continually work at it because you're going to come across people that don't know this framework, that don't know a better way to disagree without disrespect. And now it's an opportunity for you to apply what you learn for the sake of not only building a relationship with that person, but helping that person understand that there is a better way to go about this and navigating disagreements in our personal and professional lives.
Right, right. But with somebody like my neighbor Jack, you would just recommend staying away from him, right?
I would say a huge dose of patience would be needed to help teach that person how to go about it. Like, hey, do you want to have more conversations with people? Let me share with you an approach on how you can do that. Otherwise, your husband is going to be the only person that's going to be nice enough to actually hang around with you on this one. But at some point, you're going to get tired of it. But hey, you're going to have to find a new friend because I'm hungry. I want to go eat.
I just grab them and pull them. Let's go. Okay, well, we are going to take another short break, and yet we're going to save the next three for people to buy your book, which I would recommend everybody gets it right away. But you also have another book, you know, that I'm very interested about, How to Adopt and Master Artificial Intelligence to Secure Your Job and Career. You've heard a lot about AI. I have an AI story that you're not going to believe. And, you know, maybe you can give us some good things about it instead of being scared, okay?
That sounds great.
Okay, we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Phil Blackett right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athletes. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkyZartman.com.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Now you get Kmart on HealthyLife.net. Kmart carries over 70,000 items like Martha Stewart's Everyday Products, Apparel by Jacqueline Smith, Joe Boxer, Route 66, Appliances, Jewelry, and more. Everything you need. Plus, you'll get exciting weekly promotions. Go to HealthyLife.net's homepage and click on Kmart, and then you're there. And you even avoided the crowds.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. And then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm Sharky Zartman here with Philip Blackett, and we are talking about, have been talking about, how to disagree without disrespect. But now we're going to shift into another area. This is an area that we hear a lot about, and a lot of us don't really understand what's going on with it. artificial intelligence. And Philip has a new book about artificial intelligence, how to adopt and master artificial intelligence to secure your job and career. So welcome back, Philip.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, you're fun to talk to. I'm having fun.
Me as well.
Oh, good. Well, I have to tell you, you know, we hear horror stories about how AI is going to take our jobs and, you know, just all these things that are, you know, a little scary. And, in fact, my two little grandkids went to Las Vegas, and they went into a casino, and there was a person sitting there. They thought it was a person standing there that looked just like a beautiful woman and said, "Hi, how are you guys doing today?" Then they realized that you could see through her body. And but she, you know, she was talking to them like, you know, I mean, And it was, the kids just thought it was amazing, you know, just, "So, well, how are you doing? What's your favorite?" I mean, just, you know, so this robot looked really, really real. So, yeah, so, you know, I know that there's a lot of good things about it, but what we mostly hear are scary things. So tell us some good things about AI and how we can use it to help us, because it seems like, you know, technology is taking over and people are losing their jobs because of it.
Yeah, it's always an interesting topic. You know, I love to talk about with people, because the funny thing is I always like to get around with people I interview with and say, "Hey, you know, the funny thing is you actually don't know if this is AI talking to you right now."
What? I actually don't what?
Well, That always gets people in a scare. No, don't worry. It's actually a real person talking to you. But
okay, well, thank you.
we are at a point where, yeah, it's much harder to decipher and be able to distinguish what's real and what's AI, right? And so I think that's very interesting. I can understand why that might be frightening. And at the same time, with a lot of people that worry about AI taking their jobs, here's what I normally say in response. There's probably cause for you to be concerned. But I think of a quote that the CEO and founder of a company called NVIDIA once said. And he said basically this. He said, "It's not AI that's going to take your job." People go, "Oh, whew," sigh of relief. But then he's like, "I'm not finished."
Yeah.
It's the person that knows AI who's going to take the job.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So what that does is helps people understand it's not so much technology you're concerned about, it's whether or not you take it upon yourself to learn of this new technology. To be flexible, as I mentioned before when we started our conversation, Sharky, understanding where the puck is going, the hockey puck is going,
right,
rather than where it currently is, and position yourself for that, because if you wait till when it actually gets there, you might be too late. So I think that's part of where artificial intelligence comes in, where it's like, okay, this is a new technology. I don't think this is going to be a fad. I do think that this is going to be around.
Right.
Just like we don't have people going from home to the market on horses and carriages now. No, for the most part, people are using cars, buses, trains, right?
Right.
But back then, they probably were concerned about this new contraption called an automobile. Or this whole sense of, oh, I can talk to somebody across the country using a telephone?
Yeah. All right, yeah.
What I often do to help people understand is that AI is a new form of a new technology that we've been getting ourselves accustomed to over time. Because if you think about all the major new technologies we've had to figure out if we're going to adapt to it and have it a part of our lives or not, we can go through a laundry list of them.
Right.
Telephones, typewriters, cars, trains, ships, air conditioning units, refrigerators. I'm looking around in my office right now. There's plenty of stuff that, you know, probably wasn't around 40, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Lights, electricity.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that's really what it comes out. Like, the first thing first for people to understand is that everyone has an opportunity to choose whether they're going to take time to learn what AI is about and how they can apply it to their lives beyond just Alexa and Siri,
mm-hmm.
but actually in their jobs and their careers. Or they can put their heads in the sand like an ostrich, cross their fingers and hope that this is a fad that's going to go away in like 2 or 3 years and that they'll still keep their jobs afterwards.
Right.
I would venture to say you're probably better doing the former and learning how to apply it rather than hoping that it's going to go away soon. Because if you do that, it might be your job that goes away soon as well.
Right, right. You know, there are a lot of people that, you know, don't feel comfortable around technology. They never used to have, especially in my profession, teaching. You know, we've switched over to a lot of online learning. You know, a lot of our things, you know, now you have to have an app on your phone for authorization. I'm just back and forth. And a lot of teachers don't feel comfortable with that. And but you know, I mean, if you want to keep teaching, you gotta be right.
Yeah, because think about it like this: it wasn't too long ago something called COVID-19 came across,
right?
Everyone's lives,
yeah.
And this whole sense of, you know, FaceTime, web conferencing, video conferencing, Zoom. We had to get really quick on understanding what video conferencing and virtual learning was about.
Right, right.
And that wasn't something that you necessarily had a vote amongst all your teachers to say, who wants to do a Zoom class? No, you didn't have that option.
Yeah.
Especially if you wanted to keep teaching.
That's right. That's right.
And that was a great example of new technology that there probably weren't a lot of people using, but they basically had no choice but to figure it out.
Right.
And see how they can adapt it to what they're doing. And so I think that, you know, virtual learning now seems like it's a given, no big deal. But 4 years ago, it was a new thing. And so I think, once again, just use that as a parallel to how you look at AI.
Right, right. I agree. The kids these days are learning so much about technology and computers. I mean, it's just unbelievable. We have to keep up with them. We're just about out of time. I can't believe it. Time goes fast when you're having fun. Oh, man, I know. But please give us your website and where we can get your wonderful books.
Absolutely. So whether it's disagree without disrespect, how to respectfully debate with those who think, believe, and vote differently from you, or my AI book called Future Proof, How to Adopt and Master Artificial Intelligence to Secure Your Job and Career, both books are available on Amazon. You can just look it up by the book title.
Right.
I do understand that it's kind of a mouthful as far as book titles go.
Yeah.
So you can just look up both books by just looking up my name on Amazon.
Right, yeah.
Philip Blackett.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I love the topics, and again, so timely. And thank you for sharing your time with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athlete. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkyZartman.com.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
We are back with more Pep Talks, and it's time for Shark to Heart. It's also back to school time. Yay! And I have a full class for the fall semester. It's yoga for health and fitness, and most of my students, I would say probably three-fourths of them, have never, ever done yoga before. And so it's going to be a fun semester. I love having new students and love trying to make them realize that this is something in their lives that if they continue to do it, that can be very helpful for them. And so I also share with them, you know, before we start, that my first yoga class was actually downright scary. I had no idea what to expect. Just walked into this weird room, you know, that had all these scents and candles, and people were, you know, just kind of, you know, just really kind of strange in a way. Those people were humming, and when we started the class, I thought, oh, well, this is just yoga. I mean, this is just easy stretching. I'm sure I'll be fine. And it wasn't that way. It was a bunch of down-facing dogs and chaturangas and balancing and vinyasa, moving with breath. And I was so out of sync. I was really embarrassed because I thought I was going to be really good at it, and I was really, really bad. And so at the end of the class, you know, we're lying there in Shavasana, which is just lying on your back and just relaxing. And I could hardly do that because I was shaking so bad. I have never just lied on my back and just breathed before unless I was going to sleep, you know. And so anyway, but something happened at the end of that class. When I was in Shavasana just lying there, all of a sudden I just didn't care how bad I was. No, for me to say that is something because I've always been competitive as an athlete, as a coach. And so that was the first time I just said, I don't really care, you know. And another part of that, I felt just so relaxed that I thought, I need to check into this. I need to learn more. And so I went to a bunch of training classes, certifications, even went down to Maya Tulum for a workshop with Baron Baptiste. Oh my gosh. But I actually put a lot of time into learning more about yoga. And then I got hooked to it. I just loved it. And brought it into our curriculum at El Camino College as a fitness class. I just wanted to bring a regular yoga class in, but my boss said, no. He goes, it has to be a fitness class. And so I had to name, I didn't have to, but I named the class Yoga for Health and Fitness. And so we work on improving health and fitness.
And so that's, you know, my students are sometimes surprised that they're sweating sometimes in class because we are doing some hard work, especially when we do the core and the flow. But it's really fun to teach, and it's really neat when I see my students enjoy it. And, and they're always smiling, and they tell me that they feel so much better after class. And so in order to put this in the curriculum, I had to show that people would improve their fitness from the start of the semester to the end. And so we do some assessments, and it's a 16-week course, and I see a lot of students improving, you know, basically flexibility, strength, cardiovascular endurance, balance, stability. I also, body composition. I have students that have improved their body composition. In fact, I had one student about 5 years ago who lost 20 pounds at the end of the semester, and all she did was yoga. So but the number one area where we see the most improvement is stress management. Most of my students are so stressed out. I mean, they're trying to decide their careers. They're trying to put together their classes. A lot of them work. A lot of them have families. And so I want this class to be a place where they can go and just focus on themselves and just leave all the drama, everything outside the door, and just work on them. And so if you haven't tried yoga yet, I do encourage you to get out and try a class. There are so many types to choose from, and I really believe there's something for everyone. Like I said, the style I teach is vinyasa, which is a movement style. I also add some power to it, and so it's a challenge. It's a workout. But they also have different classes that are more restorative, okay, more relaxing. They have yin, which is, again, restorative, and you hold the poses for a long time. There's also the standard hatha classes where you do the standard poses and just hold them and then switch to the other side. There's also hot yoga, and this is something I've been doing for a long time, and a lot of people would not feel comfortable doing it because the room is really, 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 really hot. Whenever I go in, I always check the thermostat, and it's usually 114 or 115 when you get in before the class even starts, which means it's probably going to go up close to 120. And so, but boy, do you sweat. And so you really got to take good care of yourself when you take these classes. You got to have water. You have to make sure you replace your electrolytes. And so the reason why I love it so much is because one of the things it does for me is it helps my knees feel better because I have kind of bad knees from all the jumping with volleyball, and it really helps with the inflammation and pain. And so, I'm kind of, you know, so I do at least 2-3 hot yoga classes a day, during the week. There's also some new innovative types of yoga. I took an SUP yoga class a while back, stand-up paddle. I don't know if you guys know what they are, but it's like a big, long board. It's shorter than a surfboard. And you do the poses on top of the board. And if you lose your balance, you'd fall in the water. It's kind of nice. Summer class. There's also aerobatic yoga where you can do yoga hanging from the ceiling with a belt and it turns you upside down. There's all kinds of yoga. I mean, and there's one type that I've never been to it, but a couple of my students have. It's called goat yoga. You do yoga with a goat on your back. Are you kidding me? It's just so neat. They come up and they snuggle with you and they just want to be around you. And I'm going, oh my gosh. And so anyway, I would suggest you check out the class before you go so you know what to expect. I would also start with a beginning class and then go from there. Also, all instructors are different. Some are floating on clouds, and others are like me, you know, like a coach. And so make sure you choose someone you enjoy. And make sure your instructor knows any limitations or conditions you might have. Yoga should not hurt. And also, remember, yoga is not a competition. It's about you and no one else. If you honor your body and stay consistent, change will happen. And if you're anything like me, it will become a great addition to your life. And we'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can win at aging with Sharkey Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athletes. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharkey Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit SharkeyZartman.com.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today on Pep Talk. And to my wonderful guest, Philip Blackett, check out his books on Amazon, Disagree Without Disrespect, and How to Adopt and Master Artificial Intelligence. So until next time, I'm Sharkey Zartman, and here's to your inner shark.